Welcome back, guys. DGS206. Crazy day. I'm not sure anyone, including the meteorologist, really saw this coming to this extent. And certainly not in Nashville, Illinois, where the dam has been breached. Our own Sean Malone's out there keeping us updated. But even, like, we had a report, Michael Calhoun, back when we were in storm mode, that there was a water rescue at a Deerberg's parking lot. That pretty well says how the day's been going.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful out there. We here at the show, the guys, the cast of the show, we pretty much live together like the monkeys. You know? Yeah. We have one apartment.
At least for like 6 hours, right?
Yeah. And Rach is so cute. She just, on the break, and it was especially silent, which is difficult with my friend Senior Wheeler.
It's a tell.
And Rach goes, I love when he's doing a tweet about baseball.
Well, because you can tell.
And by the way, I was absolutely pressing send on a baseball tweet when you said that.
Because he types and he's really like intently typing, and then he kind of moves his head almost like he's playing the piano or something, like
the concerto
is being composed.
Yes, I get into genius mode. No, that's
it's
not what
the quietest you ever are.
No, it's because the brain is focused on something.
Well,
yeah.
it's the quietest he ever is, but that does come with a edge to it, which is that he also is blocked. He's dead to the world.
It's true.
He's dead to the world. The amount of times that I've needed to talk to him about something, relay some information, perhaps try and gather some information from him, and he's just
nobody's home.
Blank.
No, if I'm focused on something, I hear nothing else.
He was just talking about Star Wars for 40 minutes, and then I go, "Oh, hey, by the way, did you see that thing? Do you have that guy's phone number?" And then Wheeler's just totally dead silent.
No,
this is a
regular like 30-year Susan complaint. It's 100% true.
Well, no reason to work on it then.
I can't help it. I don't know I'm doing it. I don't know that when I'm focused on something, I'm not noticing other things unless somebody tells me, but I'm not trying to do
it.
Right.
I used to be like that whenever I'd be when I was a little kid and I first got really into reading chapter books, and I would be at school and we'd have a break and I'd be so immersed in my book, and then I would always get in trouble because the teacher would be like, "I've been teaching for 15 minutes and you haven't looked up." I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't realize.
How dare you read in school?
I mean, I'm like that with video games, watching sports, anything where I'm really focused. I don't notice anything else happening around me.
I don't have that kind of focus.
No, I think it's why I'm good at certain things, but it's also where I'm bad at other things, like noticing when someone's talking to
me. Being a friend,
being a good husband. Daddy. My kid is, when she was little, she'd be like, daddy.
Isn't it kind of amazing? I have to be rare, not unique, but rare, in that I've never sent a tweet, not one.
Yeah.
Never received one.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have an account.
Yeah. I mean, only 20% of the country's on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's not like
that
the whole
blows
world.
Me away.
I know. I always have to remind myself
of that.
They're
good at making people feel like you're the odd
man
out.
Yeah. Everyone in the media, you're probably the biggest media figure
in
who doesn't
St. Louis,
have a Twitter account.
Yeah.
So we make it seem like it's the entire world. I'm sure there's plenty of people you know, watching CNN or whatever going like, "Why are they spending so much time on this Twitter thing?"
What kind of Twitter guy is Wheels? Is he confrontational?
Extremely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, but it's all about sports. He's not he's not wasting his time arguing
politics. Yeah, no serious stuff on Twitter for me.
I feel like I've seen you argue politics.
Nope. Never once. Okay. I will not do it. I won't touch
it.
Because you can't do it in that setting.
What happens when it gets personal over sports, which it does?
It doesn't usually. I mean, normally if there's an angry exchange back and forth that keeps going, there's usually some kind of laughing at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, my response typically is when people start to get a little too upset is like, "Guys, it's just guys talking sports, man. It's not that serious."
Ooh, since we're talking about Twitter, I feel really bad because yesterday was our friend Danielle's birthday.
Hey.
And we were supposed to give her a shout out and I totally forgot. So here it is, belated happy birthday, Danielle.
Happy birthday.
July birthdays are the best, as
they are.
We all know.
Listen to this yesterday, Danielle, and then it'll be your birthday.
Did you watch the Home Run Derby?
Some of it. I mean, I never watched the whole thing. I like the beginning of it. My favorite part about, we were talking about this earlier, but off the air, but my favorite part about the Home Run Derby is all of the all-stars just lined up sitting on the grass. They got their little kids and, you know, things like that. They're all just sitting there. And their reactions to cool home runs or long home runs, that's my favorite part. Because if you can impress those guys who see this all the time in batting practice, then it must be something pretty cool. And that's what makes me like it. But then it becomes, it's the same thing over and over again. Yeah. I mean, that's all. It's just too long. It's too much. I really wish it was almost just like one round, winner take all. Like, that's it. Who can hit the most home runs in three minutes?
I have a real pet peeve with overproduction.
Yeah.
And last night when they started and they had the guy from SNL and he's introducing everybody and they're walking out of a giant box and they're standing on stars all lit. I'm just like, it's the home run derby.
I mean,
it's already cool.
I get it because the purpose of it isn't the competition. The purpose of it is having a television show when there are no other sporting events on. It's a showcase for the game.
I guess you're right.
It's a spot to make money with advertisers. Like, that's what that is. Which is why it isn't what I described. Because what I described would be a lot more fun, would be like, all right, everybody gets 3 minutes. Whoever hits the most home runs wins.
Yeah.
And if there are ties, we'll do tiebreakers.
But you're right. They're producing
a television
show.
But having all of the rounds, they want it to be 3 hours. They want a three-hour television program.
They pretty much did it.
No, they do. And some in the past, it would go four and a half, 5 hours.
What's your level of interest tonight?
Same. I love the intros. I like the beginning. I want to see Skeens throw the first pitch of the game for the National League. I want to see a handful of the what's really cool this year and will make the intros and things even cooler is there are 32 first time All-Stars, which is awesome because they're experiencing all this for the first time.
Andrew, my sports consigliere says that Helsley's not pitching tonight.
I hadn't seen it. Maybe he isn't. He's a closer, so he may not go. He's been worked a lot.
Elected not to.
Yeah, he's worked a lot, and I think the rest is better than getting into the All-Star game.
Well, I was saying, because in the office this morning, everybody was kind of disappointed, and I was saying, like, well, the other thing is that, it's disappointing to have him elect not to play, and you want to watch the Cardinal, you know, pitch in the All-Star game. But also, it feels really, really, like, Paul George, famously, a basketball player, famously hurt himself very, very badly. A huge traumatic leg injury in like a Team USA exhibition game.
Yeah,
and is basically
it was a build up to Olympic competition.
Basically never been good again, and that's a feel bad. If you were to like, and we're playing so well, and we're so close to a playoff berth that it's like if he were to go down to some silly All-Star game injury, it'd be a real feel.
Speaking
bad.
Of injuries, so when Wheels and I went over and took batting practice at Busch Stadium. And we're playing catch, and we're literally fielding grounders at Busch Stadium, and it's fun. I'm playing catch with my buddy, and I thought, you know what? I want to go back. I want to play baseball. I'll play 14 over, 15 over, whatever. I bought a new mitt. I got all excited, the whole thing. The other night, I'm watching baseball, and the pitcher throws the ball, and he immediately calls everyone out, and his arms just limp next to him, and I'm like, that can happen?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I don't...
What happened? Did it just pull out a socket?
Something.
No, which game were you watching?
I forget which one it was.
Yeah, I saw it too. I want to say that it was just an elbow injury. Like it went.
It just fell to his side. Yeah.
I when I was 12, 13, one of the kids on in our program, so we had two teams and we were playing a game after them, but his arm broke throwing a pitch. Like the bone broke in the arm throwing a pitch, yeah. I mean, like, that's rare, though. That's a fluky thing. But, like, yeah, you're gonna see all kinds of things like that where, you know, a guy throws a pitch, he's like, I'm done. I've seen so many kids slide into bases and break their ankles.
I've seen two green sticks when the bone comes through.
Mm-hmm.
One I caused on a slide tackle in high school soccer, and the other was playing WashU Law School softball. And my right fielder and my second baseman were both going for a pop fly, and they hit thighs. That was bad.
Yeah, we had one of those in college where the two outfielders collided going after the ball in right center field. Both of them basically missed the rest of the year. But, I mean, they're broken legs for both of them, things like that. Brutal.
Yeah. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 221. So I don't need to tell you, it's been a weird day out there. We all woke up and it was way too dark and way too late and we didn't know what was going on. And a lot of people are experiencing flooding who've never experienced flooding before. Our own Sean Malone is in Nashville, Illinois, where a dam is being breached. Sean, bring us up to date.
Yeah, so the reservoir is filled up with so much water, it continues to overflow what's called a breakaway dam. I've been talking with some city officials in the utility department who kind of explained it to me, and it is designed to do exactly this. When the water level gets too high, it flows over. But it's not designed to do it to this extent. But the amount of water that was in it combined with the rainfall that we have seen throughout the morning, now into the afternoon and continuing at this point, it's completely flooded all entryways into the city of Nashville. There's no way in, no way out at this point. If you're inside the city, you're just being advised to shelter in place at this point until eventually the water level will recede once the rainfall either slows down enough or stops. And then you can make your way in and out of the city. But right now, I'm as close as I've been able to get all day into the city of Nashville. I mentioned it before at the top of the hour. I'm right by the Welcome to Nashville sign. And the bottom of this brick sign was touching the water about an hour ago, an hour and a half maybe. And now there's a few feet of grass between that sign and where the water is. So it's progressing in the right direction, but still certainly a lot of water covering a lot of roadways out here in Nashville, Illinois.
Sean, what is the craziest, most striking thing you've seen while you've been there?
People flying down the road at 50 miles an hour thinking their pickup truck's going to be able to handle 5 feet of water. So,
nuts.
Yeah, some people, they've been hauling towards it, and you know, I haven't been at that part where I can see where they meet the water, but more power to you if you think you can make it across without flooding your engine. That's probably the craziest thing I've seen. Most everyone else, I'd say probably 99% of people coming down this road, they either turn around or they make it past the turn and then they turn back around and you see them coming again the other direction. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, the city of Nashville right now is inaccessible unless you've got a car that can turn into a boat.
All right, buddy, let us know if anything changes. Thank you, Sean.
Yep, will do. Thanks, guys.
Sounds fun to be a reporter.
Yeah. He's probably soaked.
I was
going to
say, yeah, he's probably like drenched. He's been standing out there in the water. Feet are probably just soaked.
Doesn't exactly sound like he's having fun. He's like, yep, I'll be here.
He's like, I wish I was at home playing college football 25.
I'd be at a Burger Chef right now.
Dave something like, oh, yeah, it's crazy.
I'd be in my house, and I'd be like, oh, the craziest thing I've seen.
I got to show you guys this. Somebody sent me a picture, a group of friends sent me a picture of a Burger Chef, and it was like a grand opening of one. It was like the two owners and then two of the waitresses. This is from the 70s, and you can't see it when you look at the picture, but there's a dude in a clown suit. And he looks like the angriest clown you've ever seen in your entire life.
I've seen
life.
Some angry clowns.
He was like, no, he's not having it, bro. It looked like the beginning. It was like Pennywise's origin story is what it looked like. But it was so 70s. I'll have to show you guys a picture. It doesn't translate.
I have a couple
until
of
I find it.
Fast food stories.
There we go.
Ooh, it's people, not even Friday.
People being fired. Two former Arby's employees are facing charges after being caught stealing $3,500 worth of beef from the restaurant.
Whoa.
They would cut the beef, and they would put it in an oven that didn't work anymore. Uh-huh. Then they would put it in a trash bag, and then they would take it home. So I don't think they were reselling the meat. I think they were just
taking
consuming
it.
But they've been charged with multiple felonies for stealing $3,500 worth of the beef.
That's a lot of stealing.
Yeah. Then a lady, this one's making quite a bit of news online. A lady who's a manager at a Burger King has been fired because she hired her son and three of his friends. And I guess there are Burger King rules against nepotism. And when confronted, she said, I'm worried about my son and his friends, and I wanted them to stay out of trouble. And they're good workers, and they do a nice job for me. And they're like, yeah, you're fired.
That's terrible.
Burger King rules against nepotism?
I mean, if the rules are the rules, then you got to follow them.
It's literally a monarchy.
It took me a second.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, wait, what? Oh, King, I get what he did.
I was like, oh, they hated that.
Yeah. No, I'm just a little slow on the uptake.
We all just pretend
it's
not
a monarchy, you see.
We're all like, what?
I said it's something.
What?
I just feel like there's stricter rules for that than like Fortune 500.
Oh my God,
companies.
Yeah. No,
that's
insane.
True.
That's the confusing part.
There are some companies with strict rules. Like, I don't know if it still is, but my dad worked forever for UPS. They have super strict rules. Like, you can't, like, even like Cousins is a line that they don't want you to cross.
Wow.
Like, you have to work in a different district.
Hmm.
So, if you want to like recommend a nephew or somebody for a job, like, they have to be in a different district than you. They can't work in your district.
Are you okay with nepotism so long as the person's a good worker?
It depends on the circumstance. Like, I don't have a problem with somebody. Like, in this case, you know, you own a restaurant. If your kids work at your restaurant, that's fine. I have a problem with it when it's, like, big jobs. But there are also times where there are clear examples of it, and the person is actually good.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I mean, like, so it's a hard thing to say absolutely not. But so I give Joe Buck a lot of credit. He talks about this all the time.
Yeah.
He is very clear about it. He's like, look, I got breaks other people didn't get. I'm not putting words in Joe's mouth. You can look it up. He said these things. But Joe's phenomenal.
Yes.
I mean, so two things can be true at
and
once.
He got better.
Right. He did. For sure, you have to be good. Because in the end, if you're not, you're probably not going to stick around and people are going to be mad at you anyway.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of examples of that where people got
Chip
a little benefit.
Chip Carey does a pretty nice job.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I'm sure he's in fact, I think he's talked to me about it in the past. Mm-hmm. Where, like, you know the breaks you got, but you still have to do the job. Otherwise, you're not going to stick around.
Yeah.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Time to talk to our pal, Ricky Horton. Hey, Rick.
Yeah, what's going on, my friend? How are you, Dave?
Doing great. I hope you're enjoying your time off. Boy, I could have used some backup the other day. We had Scotty Warman on, and Wheels called us both old farts because we said we agreed that we loved the All-Star game when everyone wore their own uniform. Wasn't that the best?
Oh, well, you know, you can call me one then, too, Wheels, because that's exactly how I feel about it. I mean, I'm not... I actually don't like the All-Star game, and I really don't like the Home Run Derby. And so, I have to be careful how much I say that. I don't want MLB people to be mad at me. But
yeah,
the point
dropping
is,
bombs.
Point is,
getting a text from Rob Manfred in a minute.
Hello, Rob. He's on another line. But I can't – yeah, I just can't – I really – I mean, the Home Run Derby is not baseball, and it just drives me crazy. It's like nails on a chalkboard to me. It's like the long drive contest that they do in golf. It's not golf. It's see how far a guy can hit it. And it's not baseball, so I don't like it. But I did like the way teams would display their own uniforms. I just thought that was better for the game than what we're doing now. Much better for the game than what we're doing now.
Yeah, and technically I did not call you guys old farts. I just said I was going to get off your lawn.
Yes. And then you did a voice.
Yeah.
A voice like this.
Yeah.
But we know what that means, Wheels.
Yeah.
We get it.
Well, the truth, my truth about that is the uniform thing is just I don't care. If you gave me the choice, I would go with what you guys are talking about. Like if you said, Wheeler, you get to pick, I would pick the original uniforms, but I don't care.
You know how you're always bothered by things that reflect yourself, right?
Yeah.
Someone annoys you and then you realize
that's me.
They're a lot like you.
Yeah.
When I was in Colorado, I was at this little place in the village at Keystone getting coffee, and there's a big sign that says coffee and pastry, no breakfast. And these people, I'll be 60 in September, and these people are probably late 60s, two couples, which, by the way, once the husband sits in the passenger seat, his life's over, right? I mean, the husbands were in the passenger seat of this, and they looked at this menu for 10 full minutes while I'm waiting to order my latte, and they walk up and they go, do you have frittatas? I'm like, of course they don't have frittatas.
It says no breakfast.
But I realized I'm just mad that that's going to be me in a few years.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it is. I mean, you do. You like what you like. And, you know, it kind of makes the world more interesting, though. I mean, it's fine that people have their own, you know, opinions about things. I think sport is definitely that. When we discuss things that people, you know, would say, well, they disagree. Well, that's okay. I mean, I just think, you know, it's a big tent when it comes to baseball, guys.
Yep.
So, Rick, you got a little time off, and I picture you being very busy, and you're meeting with Secret Toyota, and you're doing this, you're doing that. Do you ever just sit and stare when you get a little time off like this?
Well, you know, currently I am sitting in my Secret Toyota in a parking lot so I can talk to you and not face the rain because I'm driving to Kansas City to watch my wife show her horse. In a horse show there. So
that's cool.
So that's kind of it worked out great that the show was during these off days and you know, sometimes I do like to actually kind of just sit and kind of chill. You know what I really like to do is do something different. That's my best way to relax. Do something different, and this horse show will be different, and it'll be fun.
Horse show, and that's different.
That's really cool.
I like it. Well, good luck to your wife.
You bet.
So do a little post-mortem for us on the first half of the season, Rick.
Well, the first half of the season was, you know, talk about your roller coaster. It was painful the first 6 months, and painful because, you know, the crowds were down, the energy was down, the team was down, nobody was hitting, and as everybody would say, felt like last year. I mean, that was the worst kind of phrase, and it turned from that, and it became something entirely different. The Cardinals, the best record in the last 55 days in the National League. That's a big deal that they've got a better record than anybody, and that the Phillies, the Dodgers, you name it. So that means that they're doing something special, and I think the crowds are reflecting that. So it has been a real kind of, you know, back and forth kind of first half, and what you hope is that, you know, after the break, that this train continues, and also that you know, a couple guys get hot, including the corner infielders. That's been our talk all year, is Arenado and Goldie getting hot. And if that happens, then maybe there's even better things ahead.
Yeah, that was kind of what I was going to ask you next, Rick, is like, to be where they are, almost in some ways in survival mode for a long time, right? Because two guys you count on for big numbers haven't gotten them. But and Wilson was out for so long. I mean, that he's hit. He was hitting before he went down. He's been hitting since he came back. Like, if you just normalize in the lineup, nothing special, nobody goes crazy, just normalize, there should be more good in store.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, the fact that the Cardinals don't have the, you know, the run differential thing in their favor just means that when they lose big. What is it, like 9 games they've lost where they've given up more than 10 runs, and they've only scored 10 runs twice. So, I mean, that, you know, that's just going to make that number that way. So I don't think that's as predictive as 50 days of baseball of what they've been doing. And, you know, I think the pitching's holding up. The bullpen's been strong, and I think it's getting better. You know, John King's been good. Roy Croft has been you always find somebody, don't you? I mean, guy, you never even – I mean, did any of us hear – had we even heard of Chris Roycroft? And now he's the guy that you think, hey, this guy could help us in the bullpen. So, you know, it's interesting – you know, on this chat with you guys about 2 months ago, I said you can get Andrew working on all the tapes and go find it, because he's got nothing else to do. So have him do that. but I said the Cardinals could be in first place at the All-Star break. I'm not saying they're gonna be, but I was talking about the division being kind of so-so, and I said, trust me, I'm not saying they could be, or they will be, but they could be, and they got to within, what, 4 games, 3.5 games? That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I don't think Milwaukee has still had their lull yet, although they really did, actually, the last 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks, I think, they only won, like, 3 of 9, 3 of 10 to close out. So, you know, they're not smoke and mirrors. They're good, but I don't think they're what their record was, say, 3 weeks ago.
I think Milwaukee's built on, you know, they're an injury or two away from exploring depth that they don't have. I feel like that's where they are. And you don't hope for that on anybody. I think that some of the other teams, most notably the Pirates, have got a couple young pitchers that they're going to start adding up their innings pretty soon, and they're going to stop pitching at some point, whether that's August or September. So that train's going to come to an end, I think. Now, I think they're a good team. Don't hear me say that, but I just think that's going to catch up to them when you have young pitching. And so I feel like there's some trending things that are actually positive for the Cardinals.
Rick, what did you think of our draft?
Well, I don't know as much about the players. You know, one of my favorite things to say about the draft is, okay, I'll see them in 4 years. Because I feel like, you know, the baseball draft has never – you know, when I was drafted, I mean, it took them a week to tell me I was drafted. I didn't even know. I mean, there was no
– Did you get a telegram, Rick?
No, I didn't even get – I didn't got a phone call. It's like, hey, oh, by the way, we drafted you. Thanks. So, I mean – You don't. It was a totally different thing, and I think we've played it up to be like the NBA draft and the NFL draft, and I understand why we're doing it. But the difference is those guys are going to play next year. The baseball guys will not. 99.999% of them we won't see for 3 years. So it's really hard to tell. I mean, I trust Randy Flores. I told him that the other day when he was heading into the draft room. So, and I'm just going to stick by that. But I really don't know a lot about these guys until we see them.
I heard Edmund tell a story the other day on the TV side saying that he was drafted, and within a week he was in Bend, Oregon, and he hadn't turned 18 yet.
Yeah.
And he just had a suitcase and a glove. And he's playing baseball, and he's a kid.
Yeah, I was listening to yesterday, Ricky. I was listening to MLB Network Radio, and Justin Morneau was on, and he's from Canada. So when he got drafted, he got drafted before school was over. So he was a professional baseball player. Like, he was signed or drafted, but he is still finishing his classes. Like, he was still taking his exams. And then a week later, he was from, I think he's from, like, the Vancouver area. The week later, he was in Florida beginning his professional career as a 17, 18-year-old, literally a day or two out of class.
Amazing.
So here's here's the other thing that people don't I mean, you're playing in wherever it is, Bend, Oregon, Gastonia, North Carolina, you know, wherever it might be. You go to that town and, you know, it's a big deal for that town.
Yeah.
But it is not, it's not as big a deal as playing at University of Florida or, you know, or Virginia or, right, or you know, wherever it else may be, Vanderbilt. I mean, it's a step down in terms of the kind of the all the fluff that you get around the program. So it's a hard life to adjust to, but that's part of the learning process, is get through that, toughen up, and then be ready for the big leagues.
All right, buddy, you drive safe and enjoy the horse show. Enjoy your time off.
Well, have fun. Thanks, guys. See ya.
GS. We have the think tank coming up with Alvin Reed and Gene Evans. That'll be at 4 p.m. We'll talk to Dave Murray, find out what the hell broke loose this morning, and coming back tonight with more rain and flooding and so forth. So I'm up for this award, a major award, I would call it, the STL headliner through the Post-Dispatch. But we need you to vote for me, and we're being unabashedly asking you to do that this year. We typically don't do it because I'm too cool, and then cool-ass Dave just kept losing to Courtney. So it's like, okay, well, I guess we're going to play your little reindeer games then, aren't we? So we just shared the click-through.
Yeah, it's on Facebook. You know, Dave, you say that, but you've won like a million A-list awards. You're a very decorated award winner. So
I think we should change the name to the award-winning Dave Glover Show.
The award-winning DGS, yes.
No, I just said we should add another one to the pile.
Yeah,
get us this STL Headliner Award and vote for Dave for Best Local Radio Show Host. Just click on the link, then click on People and scroll until you see the category.
I'm doing all I can, people. I voted today.
So, I voted today, too.
And it told me I can vote again in 14 hours, so I'm just going to set an alarm.
Yes, you got a timer going.
So, Rach, you're already having some election fatigue?
Oh, yeah. I was watching CNN in The Office earlier, actually. And, you know, I think I enjoy election season more than the typical person. Like, I like the fact that the RNC is on. I'll spend an hour watching it tonight and clicking through and... But I'm starting to feel fatigued. I'm kind of tired of the same talking heads saying the same things over and over. And I'm sure it has to do with the assassination attempt this past weekend and just overload of everyone has something to say and they're all kind of saying the same thing. But it's a little intimidating to think like, oh, we're going to go through this all the way until November.
And then it'll start again the day after.
Start afresh.
Who's going to be there in 2028? Oh, it's exhausting.
Whose voice was that?
I don't know.
Sounded like a pig.
I don't know.
Sounds like the pig.
Oh, it's Pee Wee's pig. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm very happy with the results, baby.
Oh, that was my annoying.
Who's going to win the next election, Pee Wee?
That was my TV media dudes annoying me with always talking about the next election. Can we just give it a break?
I'm just tired of, like, we have a panel here, and everyone on the panel is going to, I mean,
they're going to say
it.
The same thing they say every night.
I know.
Yeah. I do love the panels, though.
I know.
I can't help it.
I just,
give me
many
David
times?
Axelrod and, what's my boy's name? Scott Jennings.
Trip McGilligan.
We need to get him on. He's a Republican, but he's really good. He's really pithy. I like him a lot. He's on CNN a bunch. Let's get him on the show.
Fox had some power players on the other night. They had like Karl Rove, Britt Hume, Juan Williams. It was a good panel. And then a girl that I had actually never heard of before. I was like, wow,
I love me some Britt Hume.
Yeah, he's good.
He's old school.
As a sports guy, I can tell when something's gone too sportsy. And politics have gone too sportsy. Like, look, we sports dudes, we make predictions all the time and we're wrong all the time. You're wrong at least half the time. And if you're stupid, you're wrong a lot more than that. But it doesn't matter because it's sports. It's just entertainment. Like, I can't count how many times I hear, well, here's what we're going to look forward to in the next few months. And then it's just not that. Dude, and everybody's like, nope, we didn't even say that. That never happened.
I had to get used to that. I've re-engaged with baseball, re-engaged with the Cardinals, and... Like, you'll remember this. Like, 4 months ago, I kept coming into you, and I'm like, FanSided says that there's a blockbuster trade with the Toronto Blue Jays. And you're like, don't read that crap.
Don't read FanSided. I mean, read FanSided. Just know that what you're reading. It's not Ken Rosenthal report. It's just... like the thing with polls, maybe they're going to be better. Maybe they're not as weird as they are. But like at this time in 2016, Hillary Clinton was up 9 points on Trump.
Yeah.
And lost. Like it, I know it may be different this time. And it's, and this time what's really different is incumbent versus a previous incumbent, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to two people that had not actually run for that office before. So I'm not saying this is that. It's just that you don't know until you know. And in sports, we learn that all the time. It happens literally all the time. We think, man, the Dodgers are unbeatable, and then they lose. And again, in sports, it's just entertainment, so it doesn't matter. But I keep going back to that. Why do we treat something important the same way we treat entertainment?
Because you nailed it, Wheels. It's just because we're filling time. Like yesterday, before they announced it was J.D. Vance, all the cable news channels were like,
yeah.
Well, it could be this person, or it could be this person.
It was just like the NFL draft. Are the Bears going to take Caleb Williams? Might they go different? Might they trade out? It's the same vibe, mm-hmm. which, again, I understand, you know,
It just gets a little
sports
tiresome.
And religion. We turn everything into sports and religion.
Yeah,
we certainly have with politics.
And as a sports guy, I'm totally guilty of all of that as a sports guy. But sports are just for funs.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.